today's readings and today's saint give us an opportunity to expand our reflections on the parable of the sower. So there's three things I want to weave together if I can. One is the parable of the sower, which is very familiar to everyone. At least anyone who's following the Anuim life knows that that's all about how we receive the word. And since we're dedicated to pondering the word, this parable is certainly for us. I'd like to combine that with the first reading where St. Paul speaks about the mystery of God, who dwells in unapproachable light, and then combine that, a third point, the experience of St. Padre Pio, today's saint. So starting out with the parable, I don't have to introduce it. You know that the image is that the word of God is like a seed scattered by the Lord, and how it's received depends on what kind of soil we, the listeners, or the hearers, provide for that seed. And any one of us can make this reflection every day. Am I being good soil? Am I receiving the word? Am I giving it a space to grow in my heart, in my life? Or am I hardening to it like a footpath? Or am I a rocky ground where I just, I'm shallow, I don't really let it penetrate? Or am I letting the life or the word of God in me get choked off by anxieties or by the distractions of living in the modern world? But those are always relevant questions. So I'm not discounting that, but I think everyone here has made that meditation many times. I hope you have, because it's always relevant. How am I receiving the word? What kind of soil am I? But the reason why I want to expand it is because today's first reading makes us think a little differently, not only about how we receive the word or what is the word, but who this sower is. We don't think about that as much. We think, well, you know, we're receiving the word of God. It's right here. But this first reading, now this is at the end of Paul's first letter to Timothy, he speaks about God in a way that, well, we could say it blows our minds, because we can't contain the mystery of God, meaning we can't comprehend this sower. This is how St. Paul says it. He talks about the coming again of Jesus Christ, the second coming, the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who's going to make that appearance take place is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. He's talking about the Father. He's talking about the mystery of God. God who alone is immortal, is beyond life and death. He's in unapproachable light, meaning at a level, at a such a transcendent level that we can't approach it. It's way beyond us, the mystery of God. And no human being has seen or can see. It's not that we haven't seen him yet. We can't see him, meaning we can't take in the vastness of God in himself. That's the sower. And this sower has in mind something that we can't comprehend. It's not just a grain of wheat. That's just a symbol. The grain of wheat's a symbol, or any grain that we can understand. But these grains come from someone whose plan is incomprehensible to us. Now, it's not that we're cut off from God, it's that we have no way of knowing him because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes accessible this inaccessible God. Jesus Christ is the connection, because he's both God and man. He's the connection between ourselves and this unspeakable mystery of God, so that we do know God. We can know him. In fact, we can see him because he reveals himself in Christ. And when this second coming takes place, yes, we will see God in his glory, the glory shining on the face of Jesus Christ. So it's not, I want to emphasize the transcendence of God, but not to the point where we feel like we have no connection. No, that's exactly wrong. This is the beauty of the Christian message. This is, you could say, the scandal of the incarnation is that this mystery of God is actually made so personally present to us in Jesus. Now let's go back to this idea of the sower. We're always focusing on the quality of the soil, but one of the things that is challenging for us as soil is that the seed is really mysterious. It's one thing if we receive a seed that we understand, if something that we like is revealed to us. I say, oh, I welcome it. Think of, just to give one classic example, St. Peter, when Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well, you're right, the Father revealed that to you. And so in that moment, Peter was good soil. He took it in. He welcomed that revelation of Jesus as the Messiah. And then a moment later, when Jesus says, I'm going to suffer, die, and rise again, and Peter says, no, that should never happen to you. But then all of a sudden, Peter becomes bad soil. Why? Because the seed that he received from the mouth of Jesus himself, from the sower, he didn't like that seed, so he rejected it. So he suddenly changed from good soil to a footpath. Now, this is what happens to us. We have in mind what would be good seed, what would be good in our life, and sometimes that's not what gets planted. I was reading not too long ago about a young man. He was a great basketball player, and he loved to play basketball, and he wanted to play as a professional. And so he worked his way up, you know, training and moving up into higher levels of competition. And then he has a severe injury, a career-ending injury. And then all of a sudden, not only can he not play professional basketball, he can't play basketball anymore. Well, what's he supposed to do with that? That's not the seed he wanted to receive. And it was a big, big difficulty for him to change gears completely and see, well, this is what God did. This is what got planted in the soil. Am I going to reject it? So there's lots of things like this. Gosh, we can all come up with our own examples. Spouses who say, well, I wish I was married to somebody else. That's a common reaction. Well, is that being good soil? Or is that rejecting the seed that has actually been planted? People whose careers have been thrown off course because of whatever, corrupt bosses or circumstances beyond our control, or people who wanted to have more children and they can't for whatever medical reason. They can't have children. Well, that's not what they expected when they got married. And yet, that's part of what God plants in our life, things that we don't expect, things we don't understand, and sometimes things we don't even like. Then the question is, well, what kind of soil are we going to provide for that? The good soil welcomes every seed that is planted. And that's why that soil can bear abundant fruit, 100-fold. Because it yields, I'm putting it in the terms of soil, it yields itself to the power of the seed. But when we are resentful, when we are resistant, when we think God isn't doing it right, then we make ourselves rocky soil or thorny soil, and the seed can't exercise its full power. It can't produce because we're not letting it produce. Say Padre Pio, a great example of good soil. And a modern example. And he lived in the 20th century. There's so many stories of the amazing things that took place through Padre Pio. And it's the kind of stories that you hear about the saints from centuries ago. You know, there's a saint, you know, 800 years ago who could levitate or could bilocate, and say, well, that's the way they thought way back then, before the scientific age. And so people, they take those stories about the saints and say, you know, kind of legends. But with Padre Pio, you can't do that, because he lived in the scientific age, and he was examined by scientists. And the stories that were told about the miracles come from modern scientific-minded people. the stories of you know, Air Force pilots who saw Padre Pio outside the plane, you know, or these kind of things, or you know, these bilocation stories, or the miraculous healings that took place. There's a lot of stories like this. There's books and books of them. The most famous, perhaps, probably, is his stigmata. I mean, the man, he couldn't say he didn't have wounds on his hands and feet. Doctors examined them. He had wounds on his hands and his feet for 50 years. He was bleeding for 50 years. You can't deny that that's what he had. Now, what people make of it, I don't know. But we can say, my goodness, this man was good soul. Now, the reason why I bring him up in context of this idea that sometimes the seeds planted in our life are not what we wanted. Padre Pio didn't want to have the stigmata. He didn't ask to be pierced with the wounds of Christ. In fact, he didn't ask for any of those gifts. He didn't ask to be able to bilocate. I'm not even sure if he knew exactly what was happening. But what Padre Pio did do is say yes to the will of God. A very profound yes. You know the famous line, he always said, I only want to be a poor friar who prays. I only want to be a poor friar who prays. I didn't come to the Lord. I didn't respond to my call to be a priest or to be a religious. I didn't do that in order to work miracles, you know, dramatic things. I just want to be a poor friar who prays. And that's what his community wanted of him too. You know, the Capuchins didn't want him to make a big scene. And that's why they closed him in for years. They wouldn't let him do public ministry. They wanted him to be a poor friar who prays. But God didn't want that. God had something else in mind. The sower, the sower who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no human being has seen or can see, had something else in mind for Padre Pio. He wanted this man to be a sign to the modern world of the power of God at work beyond science. He wanted him to be an image of Jesus Christ in the world that was drifting away from Jesus as a real bleeding person. He wanted Padre Pio to be an image of a holy priest. And that was God's plan. That was the sower's plan. The greatness of Padre Pio is he just said, yes, yes. If you want me to have this, you know the story when he first received the stigmata, he recognized, oh, this is going to be a tough one. He asked the Lord to make it invisible. If you want me to suffer, okay, please don't let anybody else see it. And for a while, it was invisible. And in the early years, it was an invisible stigmata. He experienced the pain of it. Nobody knew what was happening except his confessor, the spiritual director. So, but then eventually God said, no, I want to make you a sign. I want to make it visible. And Padre Pio had to not only suffer the wounds, but he had to suffer being stared at all the time. Even during Mass, he didn't want people to see the wounds. So he had his vestment lengthened, you know that story? So that people couldn't see the wounds. But then when he would lift up his hands in the prayer, his vestment would move and then they would see the wounds again. That was part of the seed planted in his life. Now, we're not, you know, I don't think anyone here has this invisible stigmata, but I don't know. But everyone here has seeds planted in our life that either we don't understand or we find difficult to accept or we don't like. And the challenge of this parable, this gospel parable of the seeds in the soil, is to provide rich soil for those seeds too. Not only the things we like. Why should we do such a thing? Why should we accept hardships? Why should we accept the cross? Because this great God, this God who is way beyond our understanding, has a great plan for us, and this is part of the plan. We can trust him. Because we can accept these seeds because they are given to us to bear abundant fruit. It's not that God is against us and wants us to suffer these things. He wants us to be abundantly fruitful. And this is how he's doing it, whether we understand it or not. And usually we don't. But this is the good news, that when God finds good soil, he brings forth an abundant harvest. So let us be good soil for the word, for every seed, the seed of the word, the seed of God at work in our lives today. And we ask the intercession of Saint Padre Pio.